Father God, we thank you for your sending your Holy Spirit, Lord. Dwell within each of us, to be here present with us, to guide us in our time of study through your word. I pray the words would not be mine alone, but be directed by your Holy Spirit, Lord, for the building up and the edification of your church. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have the freedom, as Brother Hoku said, to worship here freely, Lord God. And we do not take that lightly. Would you just anoint our time, that each heart would hear what needs to be heard, that we could set aside every distraction, the things that bother us, or the things that are prevailing within our minds, Lord, that we could just hone in just for a few minutes to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church and what your Spirit is saying to us. Also direct and guide our teachers and our youth teachers, Father, that our children, Lord, might grow in your word. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we are about to enter into a brand new year. Amen. So, we're going to be in Hebrews. Some of you guys are really familiar with these verses here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It's hard to believe a year's gone by already. I mean, it almost seems like it just started, but every year that goes by, sometimes it's full of joys. Other times it's full of trials. It was last year, 2016. Hasn't even been 18 months yet. Tammy and I both lost our mothers within 3 weeks of each other. I'll tell you, last Christmas was hard. So I know what you're going through. And Tammy and I are with you. If you've experienced loss this year, you know, it's a hard thing to go through. If you've gone through trial or difficulty, others, maybe this has been a year of joy. And for us, this has kind of been a healing thing where we've had a brand new granddaughter. She's about 11 months. And Tatum is just a blessing. She has been healing to my heart. And she has really helped to bond her uncles and aunties and all of us so much closer together this year. And isn't life like that? You know, we sail through the storms, we have trials and difficulties, and then there's joys, and God will just, he will bless you in a way that you're just not expecting. And we each have a plan in our lives, a race that God has called us to run. But, you know, when things happen, sometimes we get thrown off course. You know, sometimes we get distracted. We're human. It happens. But I wanted to share with you the scriptures. I want to look at that and hopefully encourage you today, because each of us has a plan for our lives. And God has a plan for you. But it's up to you if you want to embrace it or not. See, not everybody embraces God's plan. Now, many people receive the Lord, and surely they will go to heaven. But God also has a plan for you right here, right now. But not everybody embraces that. And some people, maybe for the short term, they embrace it, but then they get stuck. Others will embrace it, and they will go on, you know, and they will fulfill God's plan in their life. And there's nothing more joyful, gang. There is no greater joy than to be in the center of God's will. Amen? I can tell you from experience. You know, I've been in ministry like something like 32 years. I've been pastoring here for 20. There's no greater joy than to be in the middle of God's will, even when it's hard. You know, when you're where you're supposed to be, there's no greater feeling than that. And we can search all over the world for all these things in the world to fill us up, but nothing can fill us up quite the way the Lord can. I want to talk to you about that today. Let's look at the scriptures. It says this in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and we're using the ESV if you want to If you don't have that, if you have that on your phones, you can turn to that, the version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go home now. You know, some scriptures preach themselves, don't they? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at sermons from 2,000 years ago. But what is the great cloud of witnesses? I know when I first read that, how many of you guys, when you read that, you thought, is that like the angels and everything up in heaven? They're all looking down on us, right? That's what you guys thought, right? I mean, I thought that too, but I guess you can interpret it like that, but really what he's saying is you have to read it in context. That's the text before, the text after. So if you go into chapter 11 before this, there is called the Hall of Faith, and there's all these people, like you and I, normal people that walked the Christian walk, ran the race with endurance, that had, you know, such a hard time, but yet they believed in faith that the Messiah would come. Even though they didn't see Jesus come, they believed and they lived a life of faith. And so they're the great, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let me paint the picture for you. It's as we are in an arena and we are the racers that he's addressing, and we're going to run a race. And it's a short race, it's not a marathon, but it's in the arena. And in that arena are all the other racers who have gone before us, and they're wearing they got their trophies, and they got their medals, Olympic medals hanging off of them, and they're all just surrounding us. And they're all looking at us, and they're going, "You can do it. You can do this. We've done it. You can do it. If we can do it, you can do it." That's the picture that the author is painting. But since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since people have gone before us and done it, we know we can do it. It's not that they had something special we don't have. They were ordinary people. Often God picks people that are running away from him. "I've chosen you." "No, don't come back." Right? That's how I got here. And he says something. He says, though we're running this race, this life, it's a race. But we got to lay aside things that hinder us. Every weight. There's a couple words there. He says, every weight and every sin. And not everything that hinders our spiritual walk is necessarily sin. How many of you guys know that? I mean, our life can just be filled with stuff. So filled to the brim with stuff that God gets crowded out. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. How do we run the race? And not to put a guilt trip on you, but so you could begin to look at for yourself and think about, do I have hindrances in my life? Do I have things that are holding me back from what they really want? But let's look for a moment just a minute. Lay aside every hindrance. See, they had these robes, right? And the runners would come in, they laid down the robe. Nobody's going to, everybody see anybody run in a bathrobe before? It's kind of difficult, right? You think they would trip. Well, let me give you another illustration, okay? How many of you guys ever done paintball? So, I have never done paintball since. But I went out with my brother and said, "Hey, let's do paintball." We had a family reunion. My brother-in-laws were all in the military, okay? I was not. And they said, "Dave, let's go out and do paintball." I'm like, okay. This is in Louisiana. We're in Shreveport, and we're going to go out in the woods. And it's over 100 degrees, probably 105 degrees, and it's swamp hot. If you guys don't know what swamp hot is, whoo! You think it gets hot here. So we've got on, I don't know if they're the new ACUs or the old BDUs, I forget, but basically we put on the battle dress uniform, have the whole camo thing going on, have a helmet on, and I'm I've got my paint gun, and I think I have some padding, and I got extra ammunition, and I got this thing called a paint grenade, and I put it in my pocket, and so I'm just weighed down. I'm kind of encumbered, right? And so we go up to this mock town, and there's a facade of like a town, and we're supposed to kind of shoot from behind these objects, right? We're running around. Basically, you run around shooting each other. It's kind of like the old rock dirt fights that we used to have as kids. Well, you guys maybe had younger kids. You don't know what that because you have all the video games. But back in the day, we just threw rocks and dirt at each other. But that was before computers. So it's like that. So we're out there with the paintballs. And I got to run to get behind the facade so I can block the shots and so on. I'm running. I don't realize that there was a downward grade. And if you've ever run, especially with holding something or you're encumbered, and you start running and picking up speed and you're on a downward grade, something's going to happen. And it happened. I ate it. I mean, just flat out on my face. And I'm just laying there on the ground, and I was saying, ouch. Peeled myself up. But I thought about that when I was thinking about this scripture, because we can have hindrances, things in our lives that weigh us down and make it hard for us to live the life that God wants. To do his will. In other words, we're called to reach out to minister to people. He's given us gifts. He's given us all this stuff. He didn't just call us to be Christians. He called us to be his, to be him, Jesus, in the world. And sometimes we have a hard time doing that because things prevent us. And Paul says this in Philippians 3, one of the things is the past. We've got to learn to leave the past in the past. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys know you got to leave the past in the past, right? And so, easier said than done. Well, you just got to do it. You know, we hold on to things. It's hard to run forward when you keep looking behind you. Because when you look behind you, you can't see what you're about to trip on in front of you. Trust me, I have size 16 feet, okay? I know about tripping. I'm always looking in front of my feet. So we have to learn to leave the past. And one of the hard things is grief. I just mentioned earlier. I have seen people that have lost loved ones, spouses, young too, you know, kids. And I have seen them process through it. I've seen God work in their lives, sometimes and get remarried and different things, or God just uses them, but they process through their grief. And then I have had other friends, I've seen them absolutely, totally consumed. I have one friend, he doesn't even want to go outside his house. And so we can let grief consume us. Or we can say, you know what? I'll see you when I get there. But for now, I still have a job to do. Amen? One day we're going to meet those that have gone on before us. But for right now, we got to get moving. So there's grief. Another thing is guilt. Guilt and shame. We know about shame, guys, right? Every one of us has something that we've done in our past that we're not proud of. Things that we're ashamed of. But sometimes that shame or that guilt holds you back from being who God's called you to be, because you think, well, how could God use somebody like me? How could God use me when I've done such and such? Or how can God use me when I've messed up so bad? Or how, and again, I'm speaking to you as a man who grew up in the church. Okay? My mom led me, she was a missionary, and she led me to the Lord at age 5. And I grew up in the church, and I knew the word. And I fell away. You know, I fell into sin. I started living with somebody I was not married, I shouldn't have been with. You know? And we met in church, of all places. So, just because you stay out of the club doesn't mean that you're going to avoid sin. Amen, anybody? Don't be fooled. You know, there are people who hook up to meet in church. And but God had worked through all that, and some of you guys, you've heard my testimony, but things had to fall away in my life. Things had to fall away in my life for God to turn me to realize that He still got a plan to use me. I mean, there was a time, yeah, I wasn't running the race. I was like, I want to sit over here. Oh, it's comfortable. But God's like, no, you got to get up and go moving. But Lord, how can you use me? Because I've disappointed you, Lord. I feel so bad. And He said, yeah, but I've forgiven you. See, isn't this the truth? God forgives us. That's not the issue. It's that we haven't forgiven ourselves. See, we're here today, and I'm talking to you guys. Some of you guys have been Christian 10, 20, 30 years, but you're still holding on to things and going, well, I can do such and such for God, but I can't do that for God. Why? Are you only half washed? Did Jesus only wash half of you? And there are Downy commercial like that. Some dude with a shirt. It's like, that's a half-washed shirt. That was the weirdest commercial. But, I mean, are you half-washed in the blood? Jesus would go, I'll get your arm. You're good. Friday, I'll get the other arm. No. You were baptized. You were born of the Spirit, raised from the dead. Given new life, you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's by the power of His blood that you are clean. 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. They cleanse you from some unrighteousness. Little, a quarter, 25% unrighteousness. No, all unrighteousness. Amen? I like the response. It's good. We are Pentecostal. That is allowed, you know. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Cheat sheets. Kids, I get lost. Occasionally, or not continue preaching here. But, you know, 61 times it's mentioned in the New Testament, the word holy or saints, the word saints. You know, we're not called Christians very often. We're actually called saints in the New Testament. Isn't that cool? Saints, it's not this Catholic idea of like, oh, I got to go through all this stuff. And he's a saint. Ta-da! No, we're all saints. Okay? But the word saint is hagios in the Greek. And you know what that means? Holy. So you know what we're called? We're called holy ones in the scripture. Doesn't that make you feel a little awkward? So holy ones, you know, every time it says saints, so the equipping of the saints, so for the saints. Because God, what? He loves the saints. We're called holy ones. So when you're on the starting line, that's not the finish line. That's a starting line. You're on the starting blocks. You got your foot. Have you ever seen the runners? And they're on the starting block. You know where you start? You start at holy. Isn't that cool? Your designation, your starting point is holy one. But you got to convince yourself of that. That's the hard thing. We've got to believe, we've got to have faith that we are the saints of God. Not so we can be on top of that, like, look at me. No. But that we can go, you know what? I can do it. I can do what He's called me to do. So, let's talk about another hindrance, or leaving the past in the past. We can be bound by bitterness. Anybody? Bound by bitterness. We can have bitterness, that unforgiveness in our heart. I know that you guys love the Lord. I love the Lord. But you know, God might have something for you, but he's not going to reveal it yet. The reason he's not going to reveal that yet is because there's somebody, you're still salty over something they did that hurt you. You know, maybe they're a believer, not a believer. Maybe they passed on. But the issue is not with them, it's with you. God wants to reveal something to you. He wants to move you forward in the race. He wants to give you some rockets on your feet and say, go! But you're just like, oh man, I can't believe this person, what they did. Like, how long ago was that? 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? It's a hindrance. We got to let it go, right? How long is long enough to hold on to bitterness? Gang, I'm in the ministry. Hello? I could go to Halloween as a pink cushion. Okay? You know, you dedicate yourself to the Lord. You are the Lord's. You're going to get hurt. It's just a fact of life. It just comes with the job. If you're going to step out in faith, yeah, somebody's going to hurt you along the way. But you know what? Let's leave the past in the past. Amen? Leave it. Don't need it. It's not helping. And any time I start to remember, see, now don't feel guilty, because I do this too. Don't feel guilty. But maybe you've forgiven them, but you remember. You start thinking, for no reason, you have no idea where this came from. Just out of nowhere. Oh man, I remember when they did that. I can't believe that person did that. Just, man, that was the moment you start doing that. You catch yourself and go, but that's covered under the blood, isn't it, Lord? Just remind yourself, oh yeah, that's right, that we're done with that. It serves no purpose. Except for the devil to deceive you that you're not worthy. And you can't listen to that. Let's talk about another big one. Busyness. I don't know if I spelled that right. If not, okay. Combat busyness as much as possible. Busyness is a mindset, gang. So, oh, I'm so busy. We're all busy. Now, when I talk about busy, I'm not saying, you know, okay, you got to work, you got to provide for your family. As we get older, our parents that get dementia, they get various things, we got to help them, we got to drive here, we got to drive there, we got to do things for our kids. That's just life. But what I'm talking about is we leave ourselves no margin, right? So we leave ourselves no room for trials. So when we hit the trials, we got no room. You have to leave yourself room when your life expands, right? And for the unexpected. But see, we're busy sometimes because we feel obligated to do things that we're not obligated to do. And you know what? Local culture, you can get into a lot of that, yeah? You get into something. Nobody's telling you you're obligated, but you feel obligated. But no one's telling you you got to do it. Well, some might guilt you. You know, everybody get that into you like, you're going to be there, aren't you? Right. Not saying anything about Auntie. She's so sweet. But you know, we can't say no. We can't say no, right? And so we get obligated to all these things. But here's the thing. Here's a test to know if you're too busy. When was the last time you opened your Bible? Was it this week? I don't know what statistics are and all that. I haven't really looked at recently, but you know, just even 3 times a week are you opening it? If you open it every day, that's awesome. It's not a contest, right? I got more Bible than she did. Woo-hoo! That's not what it's. We're not doing that. It's not a competition. But often, we can get so much stuff, extracurricular things in our lives, that we just don't have time. Or we're not making time. That's a test. That's a reality check. Amen? It's like, wait a minute. Have I even opened the Bible this week? Can you even remember that? That probably is it might be a clue. So, again, I don't know what your schedule is, what you can handle and all this, but trust me, we tend to think that we can take on a lot more than we really can. And you know what? More activity does not mean more productivity. Just because you're active and running around like a chicken without your head does not mean that you're getting things done. It's better to focus in on maybe one thing God is calling you to do and do it well. Yeah. Don't need to do 100 different things. My gosh, I was reading there a line, it's like children like 5 and under getting sports injuries. And I go, for what? For what? I mean, we used to just go play T-ball and whatever, but some people are intense. Huh? Some of these coaches are like, I talked to some of you guys, and like, some of my kids are in there hours of practice. Hey, you know what? You're the parent, you know? And you love on them. They got sports. That's great. But you know what? Just use wisdom. Amen? Use a little wisdom. Use some wisdom. We shouldn't have our little kids go getting professional sports injuries. That's kind of crazy. It kind of blew me away. And then not only busyness, but here's the thing that we got to combat is these are hindrances, right? Now, there's a lot of things in our life that aren't necessarily bad, but there's just too much stuff. And only you know what those things are. And then we got to resist the entanglement of sin. Now, the thing about this is, this word entangled, or I think in the King James it says beset. So let me paint a picture. Now, we're running a race, right? Okay, let's go back to the track, right? We're on the track. We're running a race. I'm not saying I like to run. I used to jog, you know, I kind of walk, you know, slowly. But let's just say I'm running, okay, for sake of illustration. Well, I'm running. I'm not running against another believer in Christ. I'm not running against another believer. So who's besetting me? Who's getting in? Who's kicking dirt in my face? Who's trying to, make me trip? Or who am I running against? Who's close up next to me? Who's competing against me? Flesh. It's the flesh, the old man, the sinful self, whatever you want to call it. It's the version of you that you need to leave in the dust. See, what you're competing against, gang, is the old you. Is the fleshly you, is the sinful you, is the you that loves the world and everything in the world. And you're there as a spiritual man or woman of God, and you've got that fleshly part next to you, and you're going, no, I've been born again. I am born of the Spirit. I am spiritual in nature, and I am going to run. Now, you see, that's why it's a struggle. See, we run, and we get out ahead of our sin, and we're, oh, I feel good. I'm worshiping God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praising the Lord. This is so awesome. This is great. And then we get tired. They start slowing down. Whew. Yeah, I'll get to church in a few weeks. Oh, yeah, I'll get into the Bible. Oh, who are you? And that fleshly, the old self starts to catch up. You see what I'm saying? That's the picture he's painting here. Not my picture, it's his. He's painting that. He's saying, hey, you know, if you would just be born again and perfect, short-circuited to heaven, boom, that'd be great. But that's not how it is. It's like instant rapture. That's not how it works. We're running a race, and we're running against the old self. Sometimes the old self catches up, which tells us we've slowed down. That's the only way our sinful self catches up. That's the only way the flesh catches up with us is we slow down. We get tired. And that's because things happen in our life. But like some of those hindrances I talked before, it can open ways, right, where We get comfortable. We get comfortable just running with sin side by side. But Jesus is going, no, I made you to run. So run. And what is, It's in James, flee from youthful lust. It's running. 1 Timothy, that's right. So flee, right? Paul's instructing Timothy, flee. He's a young pastor. Flee from lust, right? Run. Not just rust. Run. Run against lying. Run against all these kinds of things. This covetousness. Oh, I want what everybody else has. And when I'm talking about sin, gang, I'm not talking about something that changes and shifts. See, let me explain something to you. Are you glad that God is a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he doesn't change? Amen? Isn't that good? God does not change. Your friends might change. You know, people around you might change. Your work situation might change. But you know who's never going to change is God. You know what? That means that his word doesn't change. It stays the same. That means his promises don't change. His promises stay the same. He still loves you just as much. He still forgives you just as much. He's still got just as much plans for your life. But you know what else doesn't change? The definition of sin. Doesn't matter how much our culture or the Western world or how much people want it to, and they want to play around and they want to say, well, that was for way back then. Gang, you read the New Testament, and it's outlined. What is sin is clearly outlined. Let's not fool ourselves. Amen? Let's not fool ourselves with this liberal nonsense that has been allowed into the church, where too much of the world seeped into the church. You know, we're runners of a race, but we're also on a boat navigating, but the problem is the world is like a sea, and we're in a boat navigating. But somebody drilling holes in that boat and letting the water come in. We're to be like the ark, right? We're to be like that boat afloat on this world that is got all kinds of crazy things happening in it. We start drilling holes in the boat. We start letting the world into the church and letting the world define for us. And so I was reading an article where, you know, 100 mega churches or whatever, it was like this whole article on how so many of the bigger churches, not all of them, but there were so many churches that are just unclear on what they believe. That they don't put a statement of belief on their website and everything. Go to our website. What we believe, it's right up there. And I don't say that as pride. I just say that for clarity. You know, we can't change what the Bible says, and we're not supposed to. We're to abide and be obedient in the Lord. Amen? And mine's job is to be a messenger so that we come in line with him, that we're running the race. There's only one track, and that's the one that the Lord's laid out for us. Amen? So just in closing today, I would just encourage you in this, that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And actually, probably a little more accurately in Greek, author is kind of an awkward English word. I think pioneer is probably a little bit more descriptive because Jesus, or a trailblazer, Jesus has pioneered, has blazed a trail of faith in front of us. So he's run in front of us, basically. He said, this is the way I want you to go. Amen? That's what it is. And he's saying, you know what? Although he's the Son of God, he has laid out the path for us. There's a cloud of witnesses, normal human beings like you and me that have run out that same race. And they didn't have they had the Holy Spirit who would rest on prophets, but we have the Holy Spirit that resides within us, his church. And so we have everything that we need to run this race. Is it easy? No. But will you be your most joyful self? Absolutely. Absolutely. Guarantee it. Let's go before God. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in our lives this morning. We pray, Lord God, as this race has become difficult at times, God, would you just come up beside us, Lord? Touch us on the shoulder. Give us that push, Lord, that we need this morning, God. Whisper in our ear, tell us, you're good to go. Keep running. Don't stop. Maybe you felt that way today. Maybe you have felt like you're not worthy to run. But that's not God telling you that. God's saying, no, I've made you to run. You have been born again. Run, my son. Run, my daughter. This life is a short life. That race that they ran, that wasn't even a marathon. It was 3 miles. It was so short. Our life on this earth is so short. Let us not waste it or waste time wondering if we're good enough. But let us just run the race. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. Go with us, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.